Good morning, good afternoon, good night. What's up, everybody? It's your boy Isaiah back again with another episode of Positivity Hub. Positivity Spartans. She's out of my right mind today. Joined as always by my co-host, Eric and Marcellus. What's up, bro? What's up with y'all boys?
What's going on, brothers? How y'all doing?
I'm good. What's going on, fellas?
Man, cool and can't complain. Yo, so we're not gonna act like we weren't just having a conversation before all this. So we were talking about Robert Kiyosaki before we get into the episode. We were talking about Robert Kiyosaki and the things he said, and it stemmed from one of somebody from our hometown who has quite a platform and a profile. Had some I wouldn't say negative things. He just didn't have the right aspect of the protest. You know, he hasn't lived there for a couple of years, so for him to say there was nobody that he knew at the protest is kind of like,
Of
like, are you
course.
still, from the city, bro? But anyway, today, in a more positive light, we're going to be talking about comfort zones and things like that. The reason why I wanted to touch on that was because, you know, in order to grow, you got to get out your comfort zones. You feel me, fellas?
Yes, sir.
Very much true.
And I think all of us can attest to at least one time where we've taken the leap to step out of our comfort zones because we've all at one point have took the oath to join the United States military, and that is stepping way out of your comfort zone, if you ask me.
Yeah, 1%
no
for a
question.
reason.
Right, way out
I
this
think
comfort
that
zone.
percentage is a little skewed, man, if you're being real. Because I'm like, if you do the math, bro, it's a lot of people in the military. I think it's a little
Yo.
over 1%.
Right. You know, I think that might be one of the things they say just to motivate us. You know what I'm saying?
It's a massage our egos a bit.
It's under
Right.
1%, actually. I did the
For
math
real?
before. Yeah, it's under 1%.
Oh,
Oh,
that's
man.
even more
That's
surprising.
shocking.
Yeah, that's even more surprising because there was a lot of people in my basic, my AIT, all that. There's a
Man,
lot of people.
I was actually looking at the racial demographics in the military earlier today, and it was unique how they compared the stats, man. Like they had combined, so they only had two races listed on there, bro. Well, I guess I wouldn't necessarily say two races, but it was just weird the way they had it, man. It was like Black Native Americans. And like a list of other races, and then on the other side it was Hispanic and Latino.
Yeah.
I was just like, dang, you know, they didn't even break it down. They didn't break it down individually. It was just weird. Yeah, it was just weird, man.
That is super weird. So while we're on that aspect, so Lane, now you said where you grew up, it was predominantly black, correct?
Yes, sir. Predominantly Black, Prince George's County. I call it the Mecca of Black excellence in a sense. Yeah, it's located just outside of Washington, D.C. It's the richest Black county in America. So, yeah, definitely. I didn't really have much diversity growing up.
Now, when you joined the military and you mean you got thrown into basic training, and we all know it's a melting pot. Was that one of the times that you really felt like you was outside of your comfort zone?
So honestly, bro, a lot of people don't know. I actually did ROTC undergrad, and I got put out of ROTC, and that was
Why?
probably the most uncomfortable feeling. That we'll talk about that offline. We'll talk about that
Yeah, you told me that story.
offline.
Yeah, I know that. I know that one. So yeah,
We'll
that's
talk
dope.
about that one offline. That was probably the most uncomfortable I've ever felt because I graduated from the University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, historically Black college university. Located in Prince's Inn. However, I had to do ROTC at a white institution called Salisbury University, which was like 15, 20 minutes down the road. Out of the entire program at Salisbury, there was roughly there's only two Blacks, myself and another guy. And then in the whole battalion, there was like out of four institutions, I think it was Salisbury, Delaware State, West Virginia Wesley. I'm sorry, Delaware Wesley or something like that. And then you got University of Delaware, the battalion headquarters. Bro, I could probably count on two hands how many Black people there were, man. And I
Dang.
definitely felt uncomfortable. And, you know, fortunately for that experience, it definitely made me grow, man. Because aside from that was my first time in life ever having to encounter anything such as that where, you know, I was the minority. I was around people that didn't look like me. It was a struggle. Yeah. I'll be honest about it.
And now you did say you came out better of it, but you know, that's just the nature of the beast, man. You know what I mean? When you step outside your comfort zones, it's gonna be uncomfortable. You know what I mean? You're gonna run into shit that you've never seen before, you've never had to deal with before. And you know, that type of adversity can take a toll on you, like mentally and physically. You know what I mean? But once you persevere through it, like you said, I mean, you'll come out a better person. Because, I mean, it's old and it's cliche, but, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah. I mean, I think being in that situation, it definitely made me appreciate being Black more. And it made me value being around people that look like me more. Because, again, I was extremely uncomfortable, and it was a weird situation, man. Like, I didn't like it at all, man. But now in the military, like, I'm totally comfortable being the only Black man in the room. I feel confident within myself. I can hold my own weight. Right. I can articulate myself well and, you know, move accordingly. You know, maintain my military brand and move forward.
Yeah, I feel it. Well, Marcellus, how about you, man? What we talking about comfort zones. You're a little quiet over there, man.
Well, like, one of my things I go by is live outside your comfort zone, because people call me like a very versatile person or whatever, but it's just, if you live in this bubble your whole life, like, that's what you become, that's what you learn from, that's what you do. But for me, like, I'm always trying to get to, okay, I'm cool with this group of people, let me see how this environment is, at least try it, you know. One of the most recent things I would say that put me outside of my comfort zone would be joining B Troop. Like, in the
was doing what?
Joining B Troop, the horse riding thing I do.
Oh, okay.
In the beginning, like, I was the youngest person, the only Black guy, like, that whole spiel, no horse riding experience.
Jumped into it.
Yep, exactly. Like, people were like, you don't have. What made you want to do it? I'm like, why not? Like, why not try something new? And it was very uncomfortable in the beginning because I just didn't know a lot of stuff. So everyone's progressing and moving fast, and I'm just like, I can't even do this one move.
Like, right, you start to feel some type of way, right? So,
somebody help. But, you know, you just stay persistent at that stuff, and it starts coming to you eventually. Like, everything starts making sense.
On your team, Solo Warrior, were the other guys, did they grow up riding horses?
A large majority had some formal horse riding experience, whether they grew up or they had, like, training as they were children. So, yeah, it was just different. I was the only one. And then it was another guy. He was from New York. But he had been riding for almost 2 years. And it's funny because when you're doing this stuff, they'll tell you how to do it. And then they'll hop on the horse and, like, look, this is how you do it. And I'm like, bro, that's not helping. You didn't help at all. Like, you have to talk to me, like, show me, make me do it. Don't you do it. Yeah, I know you know how to do it. You've been doing it for.
Right. Now teach me how to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Bro, how did you not lose your motivation, man? Because I know a lot of times when we're in uncomfortable situations, like, we try to use another person's success as a measuring tool. But, like, in a situation such as that, because you're on a team, you're kind of like, you know, the weakest link in a sense, not calling you weak or anything, but in that situation, you know, like, how do you maintain your motivation, bro?
But no, you, like, hit it spot on. Like, I was the weakest link. So in my head, I'm like, I can only get better, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm here at zero. I can only get better. And I'm just keep doing this until I'm good at it. And it went from being a task, like, yo, it got so tasking at one point. Especially, we did our class through the winter. It's freaking freezing cold. So, Arizona is a generally hot state, but because of the elevation.
I was about to say it gets cold.
Because of the elevation where we live, it gets cold. It gets so freaking cold. So, like, some of the sessions, literally, there was, like, balls of ice falling out the sky. I'm like, why are we here? But I had a goal set. I was like, I'm gonna do this. This is a very unique thing to do, not only for my career, but just for myself personally. And I'm gonna go do it. And nothing's gonna stop me. Like, I'm gonna have to break my back. I was about to curse, but I'm gonna have to break my back for me to not complete and do this. So now it's just simple. Like it's, and the cool thing to me is like, I'm starting to inspire other people. So other people are like, oh, you do that? And I start talking to them and they, you can see that light in their eye. They just like, oh, I want to do that. Like, I'm going to go. When's the
next Marcelo, class? A pioneer over there.
Bro, you can't tell me that's not an awesome feeling.
That's the best feeling. Because like you said, at one point I was like, man, I don't even know if I can do this. And then to turn around and other people were getting like fired from just, oh, I'm going to go experience that.
Right. That's dope, though, man. I mean, look, that's just another example how stepping outside your comfort zone, you know what I mean? You just entered a whole new realm of a person you didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm.
All within yourself. And, you know what I mean? I tell people all the time, I mean, only you can be the greatest you that's ever going to be. You know what I mean? And you have to step outside your comfort zones in order to grow. Like, I know for a fact, if I'd have stayed home and continued doing what I was doing, I would not be as successful as I am today. You know what I mean?
No.
And I mean, I'm not stupid rich or anything, but like in my eyes,
Forex, man, you balling.
Hey, I'm trying to be, bro. I just want to be wealthy, man, so I can put my family on, dog. And that's really been my motivation from the start. You know what I mean? That's kept me wanting to step outside my comfort zone in certain things. And I fell off for a while. And I'm not afraid to admit that at all. I fell off and I got real comfortable in my comfort zone. And I was just like, dude, like, this is nice. And, you know what I mean? I wasn't leaving the crib unless I had to go to work. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't communicating with people, none of that. I was just like, yo, I'm good. But I realized I stopped growing as a person. And, you know, that just didn't sit well with me. You know what I mean? That's not who I want to be. That wasn't my reason for leaving Pennsylvania, because I could have did that back in PA. So I'm saying it's you have to find a why for why you're doing it. And I'm glad you asked Marcellus, you know what I'm saying, what his motivation was. Because, you know what I'm saying, sometimes it's hard to find it. Or not necessarily hard to find it, but sometimes you may lose sight of what your motivation is. And that a lot of times is where you know, you just got to remember why. You just got to really sit and think with yourself, man. And I don't know, these comfort zones, it's been dawning on me a lot. I've been wanting to talk about comfort zones for a minute, because, you know, people don't realize even small steps get you towards the goal. You feel me?
Yeah.
One of my old NTOs told me, man, David Punch, he's a bad dude from Fort Hood, bro. He told me, do something today that you in the future will appreciate that you did. And so, you know, each day I get up, I always ask myself, what can I do better? You know, what's something I can do that can benefit the future? But right. Are you guys familiar with David Goggins?
No, I am not.
Okay. David Goggins is a former Navy SEAL. He's also an Army Ranger. But, like, this dude is, like, the ultimate badass, bro. And
he did both, goddamn.
Yeah, bro. I read his book.
What's it called?
David Goggins, that's his name?
No, the book.
Oh, The Hurt You Give? I can't remember the exact name of it.
I have seen his face. I haven't gone through the book yet, though.
Yeah, he's a badass, bro. But one of the quotes he had in his book, man, he said, I realized for me to find growth, to face all these things that made me feel very uncomfortable. And then he also had another quote. It said, if you live in one too long, that becomes your norm. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable, which is pretty much, you know, what all of us have been alluding to. But, you know, it's just unique that we all can find motivation. We can find our why. But most importantly, like, a lot of times we have a hard time looking in the mirror and accepting that we become too comfortable. So, you know, as you said, bro, like, I think it's important that we all look in the mirror and, you know, we can assess ourselves honestly, and have the humility and the respect for ourselves to realize that, hey, man, I've got too comfortable.
Right.
And I know for me, sometimes I may get too comfortable in something, and my wife will let me know. She'll be like, hey, you haven't been doing this. You said you're going to be doing this. You know, what's going on?
Right.
And so, you know, I'm just glad and very appreciative that I can look at myself, but I also have people in my corner, such as you two guys, that you know, can call me out on my BS and let me know when I'm slacking. Or no, I think that's the most important. Like, we gotta have that.
Everybody that needs an accountability. Exactly. That, yep, that word right there. Everybody needs an accountability team, man. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
It's unique, man.
And a lot of people don't have that ability to self-assess, or it's just mm-hmm. too hard for them, you know? They don't want to face that truth of it could be as simple as, damn, I'm getting fat, or...
you know what, Marcellus? I don't think it's hard for them. I think it's very easy for people to self-assess. I think it's just harder for people to change once they get too comfortable in a certain way. You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? And then that goes back to the comfort zones. People get stuck in a cut, like you said, gaining weight. Like, dude, I got out the army, right? I kept working out for a little bit. And you know what I mean? I'm still solid. I'm still pretty strong. But I fell off, like, working out as hard as I used to, right? So I put on weight. So I remember I went to Five Star Nutrition because I made a promise to myself. I was like, nah, I'm going to get in shape because, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not where I want to be or where I know I could be at my age. You know what I'm saying? I'm still entering my prime. I'm only 28. So, I know there's greater lengths I can climb, but I wasn't happy with what I seen. So I went to Five Star Nutrition, man. And I was like 215. I was like, oh shit. I was like, wait, I said, hold on. I said, I ain't been 215 since I was in Afghanistan. And that was like a solid 215. You know what I mean? I was like, hey, nah.
Bro, when they came out from Afghanistan, bro, we saw them boys go off the plane. I was like, man, this man need a UA, bro. Ain't no way that's not
all natural. Like, all natural. Still is.
That's because when you're deployed, you're in a hyperbolic time chamber, man. Like,
yo, I'm trying to tell you.
You work out like four times. It's 7 o'clock. You're like, what?
Yo, you may get right. So if you join the military, right? So if you join the National Guard, right? You're going to get stationed in your hometown. So technically you're still in your comfort zone. You left and you went to basic training. IT. You left your comfort zone. You did that, right? But you came back mm-hmm. to a familiar place. When you deploy, because National Guard deploys, don't let anybody fool you. National Guard deploys more than active military. And that's a fact.
Yeah. Them reserves.
Yeah, reserves. You know what I'm saying? But what was I saying? Oh, when you deploy, bro, you're forced out of your comfort zone. Like, there is no comfort over there when you deploy to, like, an actual combat zone, Afghanistan. Like, there is no comfort. I mean, you find comfort within the gym, within books, within school, within your battle buddies, you know what I'm saying? But you are forced out of your comfort zone, and you are forced to grow when you deploy. And you can't tell me anybody who's been on deployment and didn't come back with some sort of growth, whether it was financially, mentally, physically, spiritually, what have you. We go through a lot of shit over there, but I mean, you tend to grow as a person over there too.
Yeah, this is my second deployment, and it'll be coming to an end in a couple of weeks. And it's that idle time, man.
Yeah.
The idle time is what forces you to grow. It's like you either get lost in your thoughts or, you know, you channel your inner thoughts and you make something good out of it. So I definitely feel you on that because my first deployment was definitely rough, man. I think my first deployment was the first time I can say I honestly felt depressed in life, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me a while to get out of that, bro. Like, it took me about three, 4 months. Man.
Man, like, when I got to my deployment, I was optimistic. I'm like, this is good. Man, the people... they made me antisocial. Like, I found every way possible to not associate with the people I work with, other than like one or two people. But we were in this big bay where like 13 people are working inside these combined trailers or whatever, and it was just so many personalities all in one room, and all this power tripping. I'm like, oh no. I would come in early so I could leave early. I would take a lunch after everyone else took lunch. I was not Superman. They were working like on my whole mental. I'm like, mm-mm.
You had to stay away from that.
I'm
huh?
not doing it. No.
I think Cello, she highlighted the most important thing about your comfort zone. It's your mental, bro.
Right.
Everything is really in your mind.
For sure.
You know, my boy Paul Jerry, when we were an undergrad, he told me this quote, "Nothing beats a failure but a try. Therefore, I try until I die. Therefore, I never fail."
Woo!
Yeah, that's fire.
Yeah,
you're gonna have
to, my boy Paul.
I gotta get that on the post.
Yeah, you have to send me that one, man. We have to quote that one. That was.
Yeah, he said, "Nothing beats a failure but a try. I try until I die. Therefore, I never fail." Because, you know, regardless of if you fail, you know, you're still going to keep trying to get up. Right. I mean, you ain't going to die.
Right.
Yeah, bro.
Right.
Yeah, that was a true gem.
Yeah, that one got me a little stuck right now because I'm like, damn. Because when you think about it in life, like since birth, you know what I mean? All it is you, as you try, you learn. You know what I mean? Like from crawling to walking to talking, to reading, to spelling, to all that. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's basically you trying and you coming out of your comfort zones from the point you're pushed out the womb. And that's growth.
I don't really like hearing success stories where, like, no one really failed or they struggled to get that success. Because, you know, you got some people, like, they can just hop out of bed on a 13-flat 2-mile, or some people, you know, right. Like, they're just gifted. They have the physical intangibles, but they don't have the necessary skill set to take them to the next level. So I enjoy stories or, you know, testimonies where people actually fail to get to where they are. Like, it's just very inspiring. I think it resonates more with me.
Yeah, when people are humbled in a sort of way.
You know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Social media, like, builds this. You build a person. Well, people. Not you build it, like, so I'm the type of person, I like spreading positive news, right? So I tell people about positive things that occur in my life, but people start to spin this into, like, I'm this perfect person.
Right.
No, like.
Right.
I had to go through some shit to get where I got, like.
Right.
They don't know the journey, bro. Right. They don't know the journey.
To life, like, no, bro, I didn't just wake up like you said and did a run at a 2 mile. Like, I bust my ass 2.5-3 hours a day in the gym and all these other things, but yeah, like, you have to have that, you have to make people understand, like, there's a struggle before you get your strength. I literally have that tattooed on me as a ambigram, because you can't have strength without a struggle. You just can't.
There's no struggle without progress.
It just doesn't happen.
Man, that's fire. Y'all dropping some gems today, man, because y'all speaking the truth for real, man. And, you know what I mean? At first, you know, I think it's tough for people to really step out of their comfort zones because, you know, it's scary at first. I mean, because you never know what's really going to happen, you know. But it all goes back to that mindset thing we talked about. You know, I'm a firm believer in manifesting, you know what I mean, your success. I'm a firm believer in, you know what I mean, if you think it, if you see it, if you talk about it, you know what I mean, if you believe that you can touch it, you know what I mean, you're going to be able to touch it. You know what I mean, if you believe that you can succeed, you're going to succeed. And, you know what I mean, too many negative thoughts, you know, my homeboy, Trone, matter of fact, I quote Trone a lot because my man always be on point, but he had posted on Facebook, you know, about like seven things that keep people from being successful, and fear of failure was one of them. And, you know, that's a real thing. I think a lot of, or I'm sorry, it's a fear of success. I think a lot of people, you know what I mean? Some people are afraid to actually hit that next level, that level that they want to be at, because they don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Once they hit that level. And to be honest, I think, you know what I mean? I think that was one of the reasons, you know, I stopped what I was doing, because, you know, I like y'all know I started the podcast 2 years ago, and, you know what I mean, it was doing pretty good. You know what I mean, I was getting listeners, I was dropping episodes, I enjoyed doing it. And, you know, after a while it started to be, you know what I mean, I was getting a lot of feedback and I was talking to a lot of people, and it became overwhelming. You know what I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it became overwhelming for a little bit, and I was like, you know, let me step back for a little bit. And, you know, now that I look back on it, because hindsight is always 20/20. It's like I had that fear of success. You know what I mean? I was starting to think, like, damn, the podcast is going to get further. I'm going to start talking about different type of things and da, da, da. And I just wasn't ready for that. You know what I mean? It was taking me out of my comfort zone, you know, and I just wasn't ready for it. But now, you know, knowing what I know now, going through what I had to go through, struggling like I struggled, I'm able to now come out stronger and ready to do what needs to be done. You know what I mean? That breakthrough is just, it's transforming.
And now you realize your power.
Right. Right.
So would you say starting that podcast was you stepping outside the comfort zone?
Say again.
Would you say that starting the podcast or beginning it a couple years ago, would you step outside your comfort zone?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I mean, I have this voice. And, like, people talk to me, and I enjoy talking to people. But I really, share my thoughts and sharing what I actually believe. Because everything I say on here is what I truly and firmly believe. You know what I mean? This isn't me writing some stuff for views. Or, to gain some popularity or whatever. This is me saying exactly how I feel about, the world, about how I feel about becoming successful, about how I feel about comfort zones, about how I feel about, investment stocks and all other type of episodes that we have planned. You know what I mean? This is me. This is the raw me. And so I'm actually exposing myself, to anybody who listens. So it was definitely me stepping out of the comfort zone for real, for real. Because I knew once I put this out there, these are out there for anybody to listen to. Anybody. Mm-hmm. And these are my raw, true thoughts, in one take. So you're catching all my flaws and all.
Yeah.
So it was definitely stepping out.
I think the first step that a lot of people don't realize is that, you got to have that vision. And the first part of that vision is, you got to write it down because, if you're not writing it down or, writing realistic goals or milestones to accomplish that goal, then, you're just blowing smoke for real.
Right. Marcellus, didn't you used to have quotes on your mirror?
Yeah. Back when I was a WEO specialist, I was Damn. So hungry. I'm still hungry. But just a way to make myself focused. You think about it. How many times you look in the mirror in a day?
A lot of times. I'm brushing my hair, man. I make sure the waves is right.
So I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I look at this all the time. Why not look at my goals and I could see my future self? So I'd line my freaking mirror up with post-it notes. And once I achieve that goal, I'd take one down and replace it with a new one. And people would come visit me and they'd be like, dude, why you got all these post-it notes on there? And it was kind of like, slightly embarrassing, like, oh, shit, I forgot that was there. But these are all my goals. And people are like, yo, that's kind of cool. Like, I might try to do that. Like, that's legit. Like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you look in the mirror how many times in a day? So it helped. It helped a lot. I achieved at least 75% of the goals I wrote up on the mirror. So
that's dope.
You've never done it before. You could try it out.
Man, You should never be embarrassed, man, of wanting to achieve your goals, though. For real, for real.
Yeah, but it's a vulnerability thing, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, true. Yeah. Very true. Very true. Yeah,
you never know people's intentions, man. Yeah. Some people are haters, and they may try to impede your progression.
Mm. Mm. And it's so unfortunate that that's true, you know what I mean?
Sadly, bro. I think that's another thing as well. So, for me, for example, when it comes to lifting, you lifted me before, Hub. You know, I'm pretty strong. Right. But, when I lift by myself, bro, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt myself. I'm really afraid that I'm going to hurt myself, man. But, if I'm lifting with some partners, it'll be a lot different. I don't know, man. It's just different having a workout partner. It and people around you that have the same mindset. It's just a lot different, man.
Yeah.
I know that's something I definitely have to improve, working out by myself.
That is so
true. Stepping outside my comfort zone, that aspect.
Yo, that is so true, bro. Because you catch me in the gym solo, I could probably get 225, maybe 3 times. But if you catch me in the gym with a partner, I'm going to push for that 10. You know what I mean? I'm going to get at least 10 out of that thing. But it's crazy because I'm the same way. I feel like I'm going to hurt myself. I feel like I'm not going to be able to, get it, that one rep that I need to. And you know what I mean? It's just not gonna go the way I need to. It's the same way with squatting, bro. I can squat and I can deadlift a lot, but it only when I'm with somebody there. That extra motivation. I don't know. It's something. It helped. Like you said, it helps you step outside your comfort zone, because you know, you can't always do it by yourself. I'm glad you mentioned the gym because that was just a great segue. Because you can't always do it by yourself. You know what I mean? I don't know about y'all, but, like, I've always had I like, it took me a while to notice, but I've always noticed that I've had a team of like-minded individuals anytime that I was in a successful period of my life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, when my first deployment, once again, you know what I mean, I was there with Westbrook, I was there with Newkirk, I was there with Sanchez, I was there with Bannister, I was there with Trone, you know what I mean, I was there with so many people, you know what I mean, like, and it was just such a great group of people. Like, to this day, those people, everybody in my first deployment is like family to me. You know what I mean? They, like, they have a special place, top left. But it's just because we were so tight-knit, and, like, we all had different groups where we could all, like, do certain activities with one another, and it kept us engaged while we were deployed. You know what I mean? It kept us going outside of our comfort zones because, man, like Lane said, man, we was pretty damn slow coming off that airplane, and that's just because every single day we was like, yo, bro, what you doing? Oh, I'm trying to take a nap. Nah, bro, we gotta go hit the gym. Hey, bro, what you doing?
Bro, you lived with John Sanchez, bro. You ain't had no choice.
That's the one. That's my guy right there, man. He was my NCOIC in the S6 for my deployment. Both of my deployments. We deployed twice. And you know, we hit the gym hard both times. That's my guy right there. Still keep in touch.
Back to that support system.
Yeah.
You hear all these success stories, and like, nobody can succeed by themselves. Like, nobody can do it by themselves. I don't care who you are, I don't care what kind of like personality you have, you can't do this stuff. You can't be successful by yourself.
At all.
You really can't. And you notice where, on the opposite side of that, where you have people with depression, people with suicidal thoughts and things like that, they don't have a support system. Because humans are community creatures. Like, we need people. as much as an introvert you may be, whatever, like, you still need your little herd of people. It might be three people, it might be two, but you need people at
right.
some point. You know?
Right.
Bro, I think a lot of people are afraid to admit, bro, stepping outside of your comfort zone hurts, bro. Like, it hurts, bro. Like, not even just from the gym. Even when you join the military or you're doing something that's totally going against your grain or the norm, like, that shit hurts, man. And, you know, it may not just hurt you physically, but it can definitely hurt you emotionally. It can hurt you spiritually because you may lose so many people in this journey. Like, you may be afraid of the feedback you're going to get, the backlash you may receive. And I don't know, man. Like, sometimes stepping out of the comfort zone, it hurts like hell, man. You just got to ask yourself, are you willing to bear that pain, you know, to accomplish your goal?
Especially when you're trying something new that's, like, not a part of your core group of people, like, something they wouldn't think about trying. People get real rude. They get real rude and, like, insensitive as hell. Like, you can't do that, bro. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you supposed to be helping me.
Hey, bro, I believe in you, bro. I'm here for you. What you need?
Right. Right. And those are the type of people. Those are the type of people you need to keep around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, I remember when I tried my little vegan thing when I was at Fort Hood, bro. Everybody was like, man, this nigga don't eat meat. Like, what's wrong with this man?
Yo, it's crazy,
bro. I go home. My dad would be like, "Oh, so you telling me you don't want none of this? You too good for this?"
See, that's what I'm talking about. But that's, I'm like, wild, damn, man. Bro. Can I get some help? Like,
right, some sort of support.
You're not helping right now.
No,
people were trying to entice me, man. Like, it was hard, bro. Like. Hey, it lasted for a couple weeks, and it was downhill after that. I couldn't do it, bro.
That's crazy. You said a couple weeks. That's so foreign to me, though, man. Like, I can't understand why people would want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, when Marcellus came, and he told me, he was like, yeah, I'm on this diet or whatever. I was like, oh, yeah, we can switch up the spot we're going to eat.
He really did. With no problem. No issue. Yeah. I'm like, thank you. But then, like, I was in the room. I couldn't cook. I couldn't eat no fish or nothing. I'm like, bro, you know what? This Texas. I caved hard.
Hey, we had to do it big, man. But like, even my other friends, like I've had other friends who have tried, and like, even though it's not my forte, it's not something I would try because I don't know. Let me not say that because you know I might step out of my comfort zone one day and actually become a vegan, and it might be beneficial for me. So let me not say I can't do it, but it's something I haven't tried yet. So I just always encourage people. I'm like, hey, good on you, man. Hope you can do it. Because at the moment.
Bro, you want to know the worst thing, bro? Traveling with people that are afraid to step outside their comfort zone.
Oh, my God.
Bro.
Oh
bro. God. We're not traveling to another state to eat McDonald's.
Right. Like, yo, you should have stayed home.
Bro, they got Chipotle down the street,
you
bro.
You should have stayed home for all that, man.
We just spent an hour on this. Oh, my goodness. Like,
Like, nah, bro, I don't know about this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I travel all through Europe, right? So I'm getting to all these places. I'm like, yo, I get online. What's the most popular food in this country type thing? You
right,
know?
Right.
They got goulash. I'm trying to try goulash. I don't care. I don't care if it's nasty. I'm going to say I tasted it. I tasted goulash in freaking Czech Republic or whatever. Man, people get out. Hey, where McDonald's at? Are you serious, bro? We're in Switzerland. And you trying to go to McDonald's?
Right.
The native food. Let's eat some. And let me give you one thing. Like Switzerland and McDonald's in Switzerland is just as expensive as anything else. Like it's dumb
exactly,
expensive.
Bro.
Like, literally to get like a Big Mac meal was like $13.
That's crazy.
Like $13 to $15. I'm like, bro, what? These prices.
Bro, that's I think my favorite part about traveling might be trying new foods. You know what I mean?
Exactly, bro. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, trying new foods, because it's such an experience. You know what I mean? Like, what actually inspired this episode was, like, my cousin, like I told y'all, my family came out this past weekend, mm-hmm. and my cousin just hit me up randomly throughout the weekend. He was like, yo, cuz, I'm trying to go on a vacation. Is it cool I come out there? I was like, hell yeah. I mean, you family, you ain't even really got to ask, but yeah, for sure. You mean, come stay. I got extra room, all that, bet. And, yo, 2 days later, he was like, all right, yeah, bet. I got the tickets booked. I'll be there tomorrow at 9 a.m. I was like, all right, cool. And I was like, you know what I mean? Like, he was
tomorrow?
Bruh, like, straight up, like he hit me up. He was like, yo, can I come? I was like, yeah. 2 days later, he was like, yo, I got tickets. I'll be there tomorrow.
Sheesh.
Swear. And he was like, yeah, I'm just trying to have, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to experience. And he came out here, he was like, yeah, I'm trying to ride horses. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. He didn't want to go skydiving. You know what I mean? Because I brought it up. He didn't want to go skydiving. But he was down, you know what I mean, to step outside of his comfort zone and try something new. And you can ask him. He had a great time. You know what I mean? He ate good. 4 for $4 out of every restaurant I took him to. You know what I mean? Everything he ate. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everywhere we went, he had a good time. Drank good. You know what I mean? Everything. And you know what I mean? That's just another thing, stepping outside your comfort zone, man. Vacations are so crucial. Like, I never had a lot of vacations growing up, you know what I'm saying? But like, vacation as an adult is crucial because you got to reset sometimes, man. You got to reset. Sometimes you got to step outside of that uncomfortable zone and just get somewhere you can relax for a little bit and then step back into it, because you know what I mean? It gets overwhelming at times.
So, I got a question for everyone. So we're talking about comfort zones, but what's two things you just know you will never do in life and step outside the comfort zone?
Crack.
Right.
Hey, we all 90s,
yeah,
right?
So.
All right, so we good.
Yeah, right. We straight. Oh, man.
Well.
He killed me.
I would hope you wouldn't do that, but...
Man, that's tough, man. I think how extreme are we going? Like, I don't think I would ever, like, unless I was like about to die, I don't think I could ever eat like an insect. You know how if you like went to Thailand or something like that and they have like delicacies that consider like cricket or whatnot? I just don't know if I could do all that. Like,
bro, I'm gonna be real with you, bro. I tried cricket in Austin in 2016. Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, on 6th Street.
So like, that was 6th Street, Austin. Okay.
Yeah, it was 6th Street, man.
The question is, were you drunk already?
Ooh, solid question.
Was I? Honestly, I was, and it was after we had rode the bull.
The electric mechanical bull.
Was pumping. So. He was like, what's next?
Yep.
What are we doing? Where are we at?
I don't know, man. For me, I can't try. I can't. I will never eat chitlins, bro.
Yeah.
Or pig feet. Or right. pig feet. I don't care how you. You disguise it. You camouflage it.
I've had pig feet and like rice and whatnot, and bro, I ain't gonna lie, it's kind of good.
I just can't eat chitlins, bro. Like so when I was younger, my uncle he used to cook chicken gizzards, right?
Oh, I love gizzards.
And yo, we used to be destroying these things, right? He make them. I ain't know what they was. They look like chicken nuggets to me. And he would say gizzards, gizzards, gizzards. I'm like, what the hell is a chicken gizzard? So one day, I looked it up. I'm like, and I come to find out, it's pretty much like their digestive, what their body uses to digest the foods they eat. So it's similar to like intestines for a chicken. And I'm like, but my uncle was like, yeah, you might not want to look that up because then you're not gonna want to eat it no more. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Like, this is good. I'm gonna eat it. And after I looked it up, he cooked it that day, like a few days later, went to eat it, and I was like, nope, can't do it.
Not again. Can't do
it. And then I see my grandma, my great-grandma, she like would make chitlins or whatever, rest in peace, but she would like, you know, do the whole process of cleaning them, and oh my God, the house would be on fire. Like, you close the door, you got to put towels under the door, you got to like put a fan by. Yeah, it was
they were pungent, huh?
I just can't bring myself to eating chitlins. Like, I just can't. Nope.
Bro, so I remember when I was in Chad in 2017 in Africa, I tried camel, bro.
Camel.
Ooh. That don't sound that bad,
right? Right, I think I'd be interested in some camel.
it was pretty good, bro. I'll be honest. It was juicy. Like, it was really good,
goat, all that, delicious.
Lamb. I tried lamb for the first time 2019.
Oh, like, man, lamb is delicious, bro. Yep. We got a Greek spot out here and off the chain. Yeah, you know, a lot of things people miss out on and they don't step out of their comfort zones is good food, dude. Yeah, I mean, we can't stress that enough.
What would be an experience that you guys wouldn't find yourself doing? You feel like, I don't know about that.
Let's see. That's a good question, man. I don't know. Because, like, I want to, but at the same time, I'm like, nah, because, like, I got a fear of open waters. I don't know if I would go, like, deep sea diving, like scuba diving, like out in, like, in the middle of a reef. I don't think I would do it because, like, I don't want to come up and the boat be gone. You know what I mean? Like, bro, that's, like, dead deadly.
Okay. What about you, Lane?
Bro, I don't think I'd jump out of plane.
No?
Nah, bro. I barely do rollercoaster. Oh, man. Bro, my wife came to visit me in Virginia last year, man, and we went to this little small amusement park in Williamsburg. She said, let's go on a roller coaster. Bro, I was so uncomfortable on that damn roller coaster, man. She was clowning me the whole time, bro. Like, it wasn't like a sleep flat. I'm not scared of roller coasters. I just know that I have a weak stomach, and I'm just scared of, like, the aftermath. Like, heights don't scare me, but it's the aftermath that scares me, so... Man, I don't think I can ever jump out of planes.
Dude. Man, what's crazy? But have you ever went skydiving, Marcellus?
Yeah, I went in Germany.
Okay. Oh, see, that's dope. I went in San Antonio. It's the scariest part is going up. I tell people that all the time.
Yep.
For me, the scariest part was getting in the plane and flying up there because I was like, damn, you know, the higher he goes, man, we got to jump out.
Right.
And when they opened that door, I was just like. And I have a picture. It's somewhere on my Facebook, man. I have a picture. And you can see, like, mine, Trones, and a couple other people's faces in there. Because we went for him and his wife's birthday in August. Mm-hmm. And, like, everybody's face is just kind of like... Because it was me, Westbrook, Trone, and Adore. And everybody's face was kind of just had that, like, yeah, we about to jump out that door look. When they opened it. And I'll tell you, bro, like, Marcellus, I don't know if like it was like that for you, but for me, like as soon as we went out, I just felt weightless. You know what I mean? Like there was that little drop, and then after that, I just felt weightless. I was just like, oh shit.
That Will Smith video.
What you mean?
You didn't see that one when he was talking about skydiving?
Nah, experience? I haven't seen that one. I'll have to look it up. You have to send me the link.
Oh man, I
have to send me the link.
Bro. It was really good.
But yeah, like,
dang, that actually would have been a good video to watch before this episode.
But yeah, the going up part, definitely the most nerve wracking. So the plane I was in, it was this little tiny plane, and you're supposed to be in the plane on your knees. For those of you that don't know me, I am 6'3". I don't want to be in a little plane on my knees. Like, it was not okay. with a stranger strapped to my back. I'm like,
right.
Like, get me out of here. Like, no. So we're going up. And as I'm looking at the plane, I just get more and more anxious because there's like duct tape around the doors. I'm like, why is there duct tape playing together?
Oh, man.
What's happening? And, but the dude that I was attached to, like, he kept me like super calm. Like, I didn't even feel like I was going to skydive at one point because he was just talking to me like, yeah. Da-da-da-da. And the pilot goes and points at this cloud. He's like, you see that cloud? I'm like, mm-hmm. And he got a deep German accent. He's like, we're going to fly into that cloud. I'm like, what? my uncomfortability of like sitting in a small plane on my knees took the best of like the fear that I had, because I was like, yo, I'm trying to get out of here as fast as possible. So they opened the door and I'm like, oh, okay, I could. They're like, no, like everybody in the plane screamed like, woo, don't jump yet. And then I was like, all right, you could go. So they let me lean out, like you get to kind of control going out. It wasn't like a jump, it was like more like a lean.
Yeah.
And I leaned out and I thought I was gonna have that dropping feeling that you scared of, Eric, but like, you don't have that when you skydive. It's completely different.
Bro, but I gotta
no, you won't have that feeling, I promise you. Like, you don't even feel your stomach at all. You're not even thinking about that. Like, as soon as you go out, because you might flip or something, depending on how much force you apply when you push out. But as soon as you go out, you're like, oh, wow, I just jumped out of a plane. And then it's like a dream. It's like a dream in real life that you can control. Like, you're moving. You're like, oh, you can look around. You see, like, the curvature of the earth. I'm not exaggerating for any flat earthers. You can see the curvature of the earth. Like, oh, this is wicked. And it feels like you're falling for about 3 minutes. But really, it's just, like, a couple of seconds. And then they pull the chute, and it brings you back to reality. Like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. But that you might be scared of it, but it's something you might want to try. I'm just saying.
For sure.
I make a deal with y'all. I do it with y'all too. I do it with y'all.
Yeah, I'm down.
Totally.
I am down. Because I've been meaning to go again, so we can definitely do that. Man, you know,
yeah. I got up? A question. Oh, my bad.
Nah,
my
weird,
bad.
That's sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, thus far in our life, what do you guys think is the most you've ever stepped outside your comfort zone?
I would say now, man. I mean, like, it, not to sound like fool of myself or in the moment, but I'm doing a lot of things that I didn't think I would like do, and I'm succeeding at them. Like, for example, like and I say it like that because, you know, the basis of the show is stepping outside of your comfort zone to succeed. I'm an introvert for sure. I've been Uber driving and I'm a chatterbox. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm an introvert, right? But like, I trade Forex now, and like, that's what I do like pretty much all day now, because I ain't got shit else to do other than that at Uber drive. So, but I'm also like working with my team. I'm on like Zoom calls and I'm talking to people I'd never met, you know what I'm saying? And I'm helping educate people, you know what I'm saying? I'm helping people learn a new skill while also learning and improving my skill with those same people and just communicating. And bro, I don't want to say it like this to make it sound like a man, but I've made so many like friends, like, cause I don't really like to say that, like, cause I don't usually have a lot of friends, but even that, like, I've met so many cool people and so many cool individuals who all have that same mindset just by stepping outside of my comfort zones. And, you know what I mean? Speaking up in the chats or speaking up in the Zooms and asking the questions. Because a lot of people are afraid to ask why, and I don't know why, but a lot of people are afraid to ask why, or a lot of people are afraid to ask questions because they may feel like asking questions may seem like they're not intelligent. Or at least I thought like that for a little bit. But, you know what I mean, just speaking up, you know what I mean, and stepping outside my comfort zone, it's been profitable, and it's been healthy mentally and physically, because, you know what I mean, some of the people I've met are actually coming out here to Fort Hood. So, you know what I mean, then in that aspect, I'll have people to link up with, talk with, you know what I mean, and then it goes into having that team, you know what I mean, because you can't step outside of your comfort zone by yourself, you know what I mean, so boom, did that, build a team, and now here I am. So I feel like now is one of those times that I've majorly stepped outside of my comfort zone. And it may seem crazy. And it may seem crazy because, like, you would think I was going to say the Army, or people might have thought I was going to say the Army. But when I joined the Army, my intentions were for the paycheck. I'm going to be 100. My intentions exactly were for the paycheck, because I didn't have no other way of making money. So I saw that as stepping into a profitable opportunity. And then, like I said, I was forced outside of a comfort zone when I went to basic and when I deployed and all that other stuff. And that's how I grew. But yeah, man, that I feel like now is when I've taken that biggest leap, because it's uncertain. You know what I mean? Like, my sources of income are in my hands now with all this COVID-19 shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hear that.
What about you, Marcellus?
What was the question again? I want to make sure I answer it right.
I said, thus far in your life, what do you think the most you've ever stepped outside your comfort zone? Like, what have you done?
I would say moving to Arizona, man. Like, in the last year, I've done a bunch of stuff I never thought I would do. like my son was born since I've been here. I've moved into, like, my first – it was a lot of new things that I've experienced. Mm-hmm. And then I just got to a point where I was like, why not keep trying? Like, why not keep doing more new stuff? And I've just – I've done a lot since I've been here for 1 year. I feel like I've been way more productive in this last year than I was for, like, 2-3 years together. And I, like, because I've reached a point where I was like, I need to be doing everything I'm doing right now for the next 10 years, you know, 15 years down the line. And now I'm in a rhythm where I'm like, if I'm not doing anything, I don't know why am I not doing anything, you know? Like, right. When I wake up to when I go to sleep, like, I need to be doing something. I need to be making something better, because right. It needs to happen. Like, I'm here. So I went from, like, Europe being very comfortable. I was there for 4 years. Like, most people don't experience Europe for 4 years. I had friends everywhere. Countries I've been to, like, people I had friends. I had, like, this ridiculous circle. I could be comfortable anywhere because I went. And I could just be like, all right, well, I know people here. Oh, look, I just ran into someone I knew in Spain. But coming to Arizona, I had nobody. I had nothing. Like, it was like a fresh start, rebuild myself. And
right.
I've just been chasing goals here. Like, the whole last year of my life, I've just been chasing a bunch of goals just because of why not, you know? Like, right. Who's stopping me but me? So I would say moving to the state was probably the most uncomfortable thing I've done so far.
That's pretty dope, man. And I'm glad you succeeded at that, man, because you're flourishing for real.
Trying, man.
Definitely, I'm trying. Bro.
How about you, Lane?
I think I would say going to college, man. Not a lot of people expected me to go to college, although my grades were pretty good. But I had a lot of naysayers in high school, friends, family telling me that I wouldn't be able to accomplish that. So I would say me going to college, man, was probably the biggest thing I've ever done to step outside my comfort zone. Yeah, my school was only 2.5-3 hours away, but it was just the fact that I financially supported myself while I was in school. You know, I made sure I had money to pay, whether it's through loans or through grants, through scholarships. It was just literally something I did on my own. So I took pride in that. It was definitely scary because I knew that, you know, once I dropped the ball, yeah, my family would be there to support me, but no one wants to go back home and, you know, go back to their parents like, hey, I failed at this. But I would say definitely, man, going to college, bro. Like, it's an amazing experience that I wouldn't trade for the world, bro. Like, I grew so much while I was in college. I learned so much. I made so many mistakes, but I also had fun. And ultimate goal was to get my degree, in which I got in 2014. Congrats. So I'm definitely grateful for that. Yeah, think, bro, lessons that I've learned, people that I've met, man, they're all applicable to the real world and things that I hold true and near to my heart, man. So that's just an experience that I'm always eternally grateful for, bro. And the fact that it was the HBCU, man, the Black College University, that feeling is that's a feeling that's it's unexplainable, bro. Like words can't describe that feeling, man. Just being around people that look like you, have professors that look like you, people that can relate to what you're feeling or what you went through, or they were once in your shoes. Like, I don't know, but that was a dope experience, man, and probably the biggest leap of faith I ever took.
That's pretty dope, man. And you know what? Like, you don't really surprise me at all that like people didn't believe in you, because to me, man, you're one articulate brother, man. Like, every time I talk to you, you know what I'm saying, our conversations are deep. Even when it's on just a joking, like, just talking, laughing level, like, our conversations get into some shit, like, because we both pretty knowledgeable people. So, man, that kind of surprises me, man. Ooh. That surprised me.
I don't think that's surprising, because, like, when you step out of your own comfort zone, it makes other people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that should tell you that you're doing something right. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
you don't know about that idea.
Yep. Some people were saying go to community college, and I was like, "Nah, I want to go here." So, yeah, you're absolutely right, bro. It not only makes us uncomfortable, but it makes other people
dream so big and make everybody in the room uncomfortable.
Man, but I'm glad we had this conversation, though, man, because I feel like. You know, a lot of people don't realize how you know, I mean, stepping out of your comfort zone isn't always going to be easy. Sometimes it may be very easy, and you may seem like you may start off on fucking cloud nine like Marcellus and win a brand new truck, or you know, I mean, you might struggle for a little, or you might struggle for a little bit. You know, what I mean, hit a couple bumps in roads, but you know, what I mean, success is not it's not a sprint; it's a marathon. You know what I mean? It's not about the destination, is the journey. You know what I'm saying? Yo, for real. For real. Man, I just watched the video the other day too, man, that it made me feel so good about what I'm doing. Because he spoke about like exchanging foreign exchange currencies and all that other stuff. And if you know Nip, you know he always spoke about getting that money. You know what I mean? Like building. You know what I mean? And speaking facts and just building and being a man who was, you know what I mean, outstanding in his community and so forth. So RIP to that, man, Nipsey, because if you've been listening since the first episode, you'll know that I started my podcast because of Nipsey, and my very first episode actually features Victory Lap, Hustle and Motivate. That is my shit. Pardon my language. Pardon my language. But you know what I mean? He was another one, man. You can step outside your comfort zone. I mean, he was just a kid from his hometown who became something so much greater. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, like you said, once you start stepping outside your comfort zone, other people get uncomfortable, and people love you more when you're working towards something more than when you have it. You know what I mean?
Hey, haters, bro, haters.
Yep. But on a lighter note, man. We've all stepped out of our comfort zones, and we've all been pretty successful in those endeavors. We may have failed, but we've never stopped, and that is the name of the game. If you've been in 49th, you know that. I didn't even try that, but
we never stopped.
I did not even try that, but hey, it worked out, man.
Hey, bro. Nice right, wordplay. Right. Nice wordplay.
Before we go, y'all got anything to say to the people?
Just don't be afraid to step out. That bubble, man. That bubble can suffocate you. It'd be like a plastic bubble with no air. And you can step out and turn to somebody you never even knew in a very short time frame.
Absolutely. It's key for evolution.
Hey, I'll just say, hey, you can do whatever you put your mind to, but as Marcellus said.
Yeah, true that. And with that being said, my people, positivity.